Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
Parenting is tough.
And most of the time, you'd probably rather not talk about it.
But we want you to know something. It's okay. We can talk.
On the day your child was born, if you searched frantically around the hospital for any type of brochure that talked about how to raise your child, we can talk.
Right? Babies should come with an owner's manual.
Right. There's the whole what to expect when you're expecting. How about what to expect when you bring the child home because you are so scared you're going to mess it all up and this is your bundle of joy and you just want to do everything right type book.
They'd have to shorten the title.
True.
But speaking of bringing your kids home from the hospital, if on that day you wished you were in an armored tank rather than your Ford Fiesta, we can talk.
If you ever looked at your child and asked this question, do I look stupid to you? We can talk.
And if your child has ever innocently looked back at you and said, yes, you do, we can talk.
I said that to my mom once.
You called your mom stupid?
Once. Oh, how about this? If you've ever hummed the theme song to Dora the Explorer while at work, we can talk.
It's just so catchy.
I know, right?
Oh, if you've ever said these words, don't make me turn this car around, we can talk.
And if you've ever had to turn the car around because you've left your children at home, we can talk.
You forgot your children?
I'm not proud of it.
Dads, if you've ever fallen asleep while playing Barbies, dress up, or at a tea party, we can talk.
If you start to see your mommy and daddy time has become less and less, we can talk.
Yeah, and if that's not the case, please tell me your secret.
If you've ever almost driven off the road because you're swatting at the back seat, we can talk.
And if you've ever actually driven off the road while you're swatting at the back seat, we can talk.
You've driven off the road?
That was a hard one to explain to my insurance agent and my wife.
If you've ever promised your kids the moon and you just couldn't deliver, we can talk.
If you feel like it's too late and you've already blown it, we can talk.
If you didn't have a great example of parenting from your own parents and you're struggling to change your family tree, we can talk.
If you desperately want to teach your children the Word of God, but you're afraid they're going to ask you why you're not living it,
we can talk.
And last but not least, if the word down has become an abnormally large part of your daily vocabulary,
sit down, quiet down, calm down, just dial it down, get down.
We can talk.
Because the truth is, parenting is tough, and we need all the help we can get.
As parents, it's our job to build a foundation for our children, and we need all the wisdom that's out there.
So sit back and relax. Know that you are in good company as we see how God wants us to raise our children in the direction they need to go.
If you grab your bulletin this morning, there's a note sheet in there as we continue this series of messages on parenting. This is part two of Seasons of Parenting. There is so much that I want to say. These teachings will only scratch the surface. That's why at the bottom of the bulletin, there are resources for you. There's a website of parental helps. There's books. There's articles. There's a video that you can watch. We'll see a portion of it a little later. I hope you'll take the time to look at these and other things that are out there. Also, I just want to say I am sharing these thoughts and ideas, but you need to adapt them. All family situations are very different. You may not be in what would be a traditional family, mom and dad at home and kids. You may be in a step family or a single parent family, or it might be your grandparent raising kids or helping your kids raise kids. They're living in the home with you. There's so many different variations of families. You may be in a foster family or an adopted family situation. Just take this material and adapt it to whatever family structure you have. So let's start this morning once again in Psalm 127. These verses coming up on the screen. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. We need to remind ourselves, especially if you're in the throes of parenting a teenager, or maybe you have a two-year-old and the terrific twos, I've heard that has been changed. Ours all went through the terrible twos. However that might be, don't ever forget, children are a gift from the Lord. God has blessed you with that little bundle, that big bundle of joy. And he's here to help you. It says, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. I hope that even in the difficult times, they're bringing you joy. Andy Andrews says this about parenting, and I think it's a great quote. I believe it's also in your bulletin coming up on the screen. We're not trying to raise good kids. We are trying to raise kids who become great adults. We all know parents who had good kids that when they turned 18 left the house and went nuts. You need to have a little bit longer term view, just not good kids. You want your kids to become great adults. Now, I also want to say this. I don't approach this topic with the attitude, I'm the expert, and you had better listen to me. Listen, Sherry and I are still in this journey. We've had our ups and downs in parenting. We have spoken and yelled words we wish we could take back. We have disciplined too harshly, and at times too leniently. We've been doing this parenting thing for 34 years now, am I correct? We just celebrated the 34th birthday of my oldest. And I'll just be honest, I think we've learned a thing or two from our mistakes, from our successes. So this morning you're learning from one who has blown it numerous times and still does blow it. In introduction, I want to say this. And we'll see how far we get today because of communion and special announcements. I know I will not finish what's there. Don't ever forget, no matter how bad it seems, God is for you. And he is for you as a parent. Your children are a gift. You do not have to fear parenting. You do not have to fear raising children. You will make mistakes, and we have a God who can and does redeem mistakes. If you take your role as a parent seriously, you will do more things right than wrong. And don't ever forget that God loves your children. And here's, if you hear nothing else this morning, I'm going to be teaching about stages, but if you hear nothing else this morning, I'm going to tell you this now, and I'm going to tell you this at the end. Don't ever forget that God loves your children more than you do, ever did, or ever will. God loves your children more than you do, ever did, or ever will, and God is working in your children's lives also. Take comfort in that. So let's go to the notes this morning, 4 parenting stages. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on this topic, and this was stage one, the discipline years. This is approximately birth to 5 years old. During the discipline years, our purpose is we begin to teach our kids that there are consequences for their behaviors. Our purpose in this stage is to help our children develop self-control. If you can go to the first slide there. There we go. The discipline years, birth to 5 years old. These are the fun years of firsts, and these are also the trying years of fits. They're the fun years of firsts, first step, first word. And then they're the trying years of fits. Hang in there, you'll get through it. I'm not going to spend much time on this stage. The audio is available in all of our channels. It's available on our website. It's available on our podcast on iTunes, and it's also available on our YouTube page. So hang in there, you'll get through it. Now, in stages 1 through 3, be consistent in your discipline and in your training. Adapt what you have. Find what works best for you and what works best for each of your children. And both parents need to get on the same page regarding discipline and rules and how your child is punished and for what. And you may need to change and adapt the rules as they get older. Let me give you an example. Our oldest child, when it came to discipline and punishment, we could send her to her room and it was like it was a prison sentence. She absolutely hated it. It was very effective. We thought, man, we've got this down. So then we had our second child. And for a long time, we would send her to her room as a punishment until we realized that, oh, she loved being in her room by herself. She liked her solitude. She had her books. She had other things. And we had realized that for Julie, we had to do something different. You're going to have to discipline your children, each one a little bit differently, to find out what works. And sometimes there's a lot of experimentation involved in this to find out what works. Now, for most teenagers right now, devices and screen time is an effective punishment for most. Maybe not for all. And then, in general, again, in these first three stages, live in the manner you want your kids to live after they grow up. Live in the manner you want your kids to live as they grow up. These are years of modeling. You are modeling the life you want your kids to live. That your example is incredibly important. And even as young as 3 or 4 years old, your children are watching you closely and they will become like you are. So that's a brief review of the discipline years. Second phase, second stage is what's called the training years. These are approximately 5 to 12. And there's give and take in this, depending on your child, whether they're male, whether they're female. Boys, it could be a little bit, it could be 6 to 13. Girls, maybe from 4 to 11. These are the training years. And in the training years, you're going to concentrate on putting the why behind the what of your family's rules and expectations and God's expectations. When they're young, they won't fully understand the why. You can explain to them the why, but they're not fully going to understand it. You just need to help them to control their behavior, not to run out in the street, not to stick the fork in the outlet. I know that you've got outlet covers at a certain age. Outlet covers don't really matter. They can get those off better than you can. It is amazing what they can get into better than you can. You just got to stop them. You've got to control their behavior. Remember, in the first stage, you are helping them develop self-control. Because if they don't develop self-control, later on in their life, somebody or something's going to control them. And oftentimes, they have a siren and flashing lights and a hat. And then bars are involved. Maybe both kinds are involved. I don't know. In the training years, discipline and correction are still huge because they're part of training. Proverbs 22:6, it's from the New King James Version, says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The Bible commands us to train our children, to help mold them. Find out your kids, what they're like. Again, when it comes to discipline, find out what works, but you've got to train up a child. It will make a huge difference when they're older. Gary and Anne-Marie Ezza, in their book, Raising Godly Kids or Raising Kids God's Way, says this about this stage, and this is actually one of the resources in your bulletin where the four stages of parenting are actually explained. It's not the only thing in their book, but it's part of it. They say this, children first learn how to act morally, and then they learn how to think morally. And in this training stage, they are learning how to act, but you are also teaching them how to think morally. And again, example and modeling is big at this stage. Your children are watching how you act. They will see whether your words and your actions line up. I love these two quotes that I found online. The first is by James Baldwin, and says this, "Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them." Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. And then author Clarence Buddington Killard says, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived, and he let me watch him do it." My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived, and he let me watch him do it. I just, if you still have younger kids in these first three stages, which is really up to 18, when it comes to discipline and training, listen to me, especially if your kids are younger, many parents discipline and train or fail to discipline and train out of fear that their children will not like them. This is huge amongst many parents. They want their kids to like them. I want my kids to like me too. But there will be hours and maybe even days when, if you are parenting properly, your child will not like you. They won't. And if that is going to bother you so much that you are going to change how you parent them because their liking of you is more important than them doing the right things and you disciplining them, it's going to backfire later in their life. Please do not parent with the fear of your children not liking you. Because if you have done this well, the possibility exists, the high possibility exists, that when they finally become adults, they will end up liking you. Now, I won't look at my son or anything and say, do you like dad and mom? Because that's not fair, because he still may not. They may not like you. But I think we have a halfway decent relationship with them. Andy and his wife, Sandra Stanley, actually have a marvelous teaching on parenting. I'm just going to show you a bit of an excerpt of it where they talk a little bit about the four stages of parenting because I think it will help you because they explain it much better than I do. So give attention to the screen.
I had all three of them at home. Our kids are 20 months apart. So, when Andrew was four, we had our third child, or when he was 3 and a half, we had our third child. So there were some busy, crazy parenting years. And there were certain days I just thought, I am disciplining all day long. I'd call my mom and say, Mom, I'm so tired. I'm tired of disciplining, all that. Then she's like, sweetheart, this is just a season. This is just a season. And the way this broke down helped me realize this really is just a season. It may be a really exhausting, days are long kind of season, but it's a season. And there's some overlap between some of these, the discipline years, the training years. When those are done well, the coaching years, then you get to enjoy those friendship years later.
Where we saw parents really mess this up is the parents that didn't do this here, and they didn't do it very well here, because when as long as the kid's 5, 6, or 7, you can still pick them up and put them in the bed. And then once their kids got too busy, too big to manhandle, then they started disciplining. And you start disciplining here, it's over, Rover, okay? It is too late. Parenting is done. By the time your kids are 14 or 15, you're done parenting. And if you haven't switched into coaching, it's going to be conflict city. And so we saw that so many times. And this helped us understand what we had seen in so many Christian families, where families that were just seemingly wonderful just shoved their kids away. And so we realized we have to start here. We've got to be consistent. And because of this, this really is an extraordinary
model. That's right. The other thing we saw was a lot of times people would want the friendship years too early, and that would derail the whole thing.
Yeah, you can't be friends with your middle schooler.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
You can't be friends with your middle schooler. I've seen a lot of modern parents do this, and I'll just jump onto that. In the training years and then into the coaching years of 13 to 18, you want to be your kid's best friend. You've got to parent first. You can't be their friend first. You've got to parent first. It's absolutely vital. It is tough at times when they don't like you, when you go to bed and you know that they are so ticked at the decision that you made for their best. It is so hard to go to bed knowing that, but you have to. There are times you have to do the right thing. I heard a story, and we'll get to coaching and the friendship years next week. I was hoping to get through three of them and just do the friendship years, but we'll just do those two. But let me close with this story as the team comes back to the platform. There was a man who shared a story, and he shared it in a way that just really moved me. He said, there was a man with a knife that was standing over my son. There was a man with a knife that was standing over my son. And he said, if it was you, if it was any of us, we would do everything possible to get that man away and to get him off of my son. But he said, if that man was a surgeon, and that man was going to remove a cancerous growth, you would be praying for him. See, we have to look at our kids and recognize that there are times as parents, we have to let them experience pain. We may even be the one to cause them pain. When a child goes into recovery after surgery, they're going to be in pain for a long period of time. Pain that you technically inflicted on them. Pain that you put them through because you knew it was best. My daughter Christina, I don't know how old she was. She was old enough to kind of talk a little bit, and she had fallen against a door frame. And she had split her forehead open. And I remember this because I was wearing an off-white sweater, and a forehead bleeds a lot. And so my sweater is just covered in blood, and it became apparent that we needed to get Christina to the hospital. And she needed stitches, and she might have been a little over a year old. She had some language skills. She was scared. She was incredibly scared. And she was big enough that she was moving, and so we took her to the emergency room in the community where we lived, and she wouldn't sit still for them. She wouldn't lay still for them to stitch up her forehead. And I didn't know they made such a thing, but they actually put her in a straitjacket. And I don't know if you have those in your emergency room. You know what I'm talking about, Mark. So that she couldn't move, and she just laid there, and I was and another nurse were holding her head so she wouldn't roll her head. Sherry had to leave the room. She's screaming at the top of her lungs. Screaming at the top of their lungs. I am sure out at the information desk they could hear my child's screams. Because she was crying and screaming, I couldn't understand what she was saying. You weren't around, kid. But she kept saying, unbuckle me, unbuckle me, unbuckle me. The intensity of her anxiety was so bad that she burst blood vessels in her face. And Dad put her through that. It wrenched my heart. Sherry couldn't remain in the room. She said she was just glad that I was able to do it because she wouldn't have been able to do it. Then they put the needle in her forehead. And the scream that came out of her. I'm putting my child through this. Why? Because now that she is a young woman, there's no disfigurement on her forehead. There's no scar. But it ripped my heart out. And it caused her a lot of anxiety and fear. Now, that's easy to see as a parent in the physical realm, but sometimes parents, in our discipline, in our training, in our correction, we have to do what is best for our children, even if they scream and yell. Because you know, you have experience, you have the Word of God teaching you, you have watched others. These are the hardest days when you have to so upset your child that they verbally say they hate you. you do it because you know it's absolutely the best thing for them. And in those times, I'm going to go back to my opening statement again. Remember, God is for you in your parenting. You need to pray. You need to pray over your child. You need to pray over that situation. I'm not positive. I know that Christina is not one who likes to go to doctors. It's very possible that there's some trauma from that situation, but what am I supposed to do? Let her have a scar or an infection? There'll be times when your kids will be very unhappy with you. And going back to, you can't be friends with your middle schooler, and sometimes you can't be friends with your high schooler. They're pulling away and all of this stuff is happening. Just know, God is with you. He is for you. He's for your parenting. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. You will get through this. You will get through this. Maybe you need to talk to someone. That opening video says we can talk. Find somebody farther down the road. Talk to them about it. Pour out your heart. Get them to pray with you. Parenting can be tough. But ultimately, when our children become adults, and they become great adults, and they become adults, and this is what we pray and we parent towards, who are following Jesus, we can sit back and recognize that the pain we cause them, as difficult as it is, was worth it for their long-term health. Remember what the Bible says. What does it profit a man? What does it profit your child? I'll say it this way. If they gain the whole world, yet lose their own soul. You're always parenting with the end in view that they will love and serve and follow Jesus all the days of their life. And our God loves you, and He is faithful. We're going to conclude, yes, with Great Is Thy Faithfulness this morning. Would you stand and let the words of this song fill your heart as we wind this down?
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.